Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels, who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearing evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning in us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?"
Well, we're currently between pastors. That gives us the opportunity to fill our pulpit with dynamic, interesting, and spirit-led speakers. Today, Marissa Smucker is joining us. Marissa began working for Mission Network in February of 2015 as the Church Relations Associate for the Northeast, Pacific Northwest, and Hispanic congregations. Lots of real estate there. She grew up in Elkhart, Goshen, Indiana, where she is currently living now and attends Belmont Mennonite Church, along with her mom, who's with us today. For the past 20-plus years, she's worked in a variety of ministries and organizations that have served communities, congregations, family, and youth. Marissa, we welcome you to our pulpit.
Thank you for the invitation to come and speak, and also it's great to be here with you. And I enjoyed meeting some of your faces earlier at the annual meeting where we were at in the last few days. Before I start, I just want to give a little background for those of you who have met my mom that came in. I was born in Costa Rica, so my family adopted me when I was 19 months old. So in case you're wondering about the resemblance, that's where the adoption kind of helps that. But I did grow up in Elkhart, Indiana, so that was my home place. The majority of my ministry work then after that was spent 12 years in Pittsburgh, a great place to go if you haven't been there yet. And another great place to go is the last 7.5 years before moving back to Elkhart was Costa Rica. A chance to get to know my birth country and to actually, for real, learn Spanish that time. So that is just gives you a little bit of background and maybe some of the sharing that I'm going to be doing this morning. I want to focus on the road to Emmaus. I really like this passage because it states that two people were walking along the way. And this is very, like, who are these two people? They could be anyone. They did later tell us, Cleopas. I don't know Cleopas. Do you know Cleopas? Yeah. Two ordinary people, right? Well, ordinary people like me. Ordinary people like us. And here comes this person who they don't recognize, and Jesus, the Christ, draws near to these two ordinary people as they are going along the way. I think that's a lot like our lives too. And sometimes we know just through now as the story goes on and through history that God is with us always, but this is an example where Christ reveals himself to these two. And that happens in our own lives as well. But here on the road to Emmaus, these two don't recognize who this is with them right away. And so they're walking and talking, oh my goodness, you don't know what's going on and what has happened. And, you know, they're just completely clueless to the presence of the divine beside them. But then thankfully, Christ opens their eyes and he reveals himself to them. And they get a chance to realize, oh my goodness, here we are with Christ. And he broke bread with them before disappearing. I wonder, how would this story have been different if they had recognized him right away? Would this story be different? Would that be possible? What would the conversation have been if they had believed the women that had talked about the risen Christ and about him being alive? If they had believed what had been told by the prophets, how would this story be different? I chose the title Along the Way because of the mundane, because of the ordinary, and this image of Christ drawing near us. And when Christ draws near us, sometimes it's a big bam, and we see him suddenly. Sometimes it's a small bam. Oh my goodness. I think that was a God moment, a Christ moment. And then we recognize Jesus in our lives. I want to share two experiences of my own bam moments. One where I didn't recognize Christ until after, and one where I was kind of already looking for Christ drawing near. And how the two experiences are very different. The first experience was during the time that I was in Pittsburgh. I had been working with an organization called Pittsburgh Youth Network. I loved it, working with youth pastors, running youth events. It was also very stressful. So, you know, it had its rocky moments too, but it was energizing. It was fun. It was a great time. And then our director left. That was a little discouraging, but I still loved my work. And an interim director came in. And the interim director and I, even though I knew him because he had been working with us, we didn't quite see things in the same way. And so all of a sudden, this place that I loved, this work that I really enjoyed, was getting a little bit rougher. And there was a little bit more struggle that I wasn't quite ready for. But I was going to fight this out. I mean, this is a job I really liked. So one day, I'm sitting in my home in Pittsburgh. And I don't remember why I was reading through the Bible at this moment. I don't know if it was a Saturday or what it was. But I was reading about the raising of Lazarus in John 11. And I got to the verse 44, where it talks about Lazarus, Jesus calling Lazarus out of the tomb. And in that phrase, when Jesus says, unbind him, let him go, out of nowhere, I wasn't even sad, I just started sobbing. And I had this recollection that I wasn't sad, nothing had happened per se, I wasn't thinking about my work. And these huge engulfing sobs just came out of me. And I could tell that they came from this, my soul, deep within. And as I was sobbing, images of people that I had been working with in this organization, colleagues, some of the youth pastors started passing over my eyes. And it was almost, I didn't hear anything, but I had a sense that I was saying goodbye. And within 15 minutes, it was over. The tears dried up. There was no sense of sadness inside, so I wasn't quite sure where those sobs came from. Sat there for a bit, and I wrote my letter of resignation. I hadn't been planning that. It was a God moment. Christ had drawn near. What was I going to do with this? And thankfully, I recognized and realized that he had revealed himself to me. And because of looking hindsight and recognizing that I wasn't resigning out of anger or frustration, but resigning because of this God moment, I was able to end that job in a healthy way with this director I didn't see eye to eye on. I was able to allow myself to shift from just kind of general ministry work and find a new job that now started to focus a little towards mission, which I was a little bit leery of that. It's for a different story, but it was necessary for me to recognize and realize that God had shown himself to me. Christ had come near and had revealed himself to me, wanting to start to transform me. The second time was in Costa Rica. I had been living in Costa Rica about 6.5 years. I recommend it as a trip to anyone who would like to go. I was loving it. I was teaching English. Once in a while, I'd do some ministry. The weather was perfect. Seriously, kind of like right now today. And this time, I was sitting in my home. Boy, this always happens in my home. But yes, I was sitting in my home, and out of nowhere, I hear this voice, it's time. It's time to do my work. It's time to do, well, it's time to do what? But this time, because of my previous experiences and the other experiences, I'm thinking, no, this is another God moment. It's time. It's time to go back. I chewed on it for a little bit, but I knew this was what I needed to do. So I do what it was the right thing to do, and probably the best thing to do at that moment is tell your mom. Because if I told my mom, I couldn't back out. I had to do it, right? And the funny thing is, I remember her writing me the very next day.
Do we really have that conversation? Are you really coming back?
Can I start telling people? I asked her not to, but I don't think she heard those words. I didn't know the significance at the time of what its time meant. Its time, I thought, was just it's time to go back and be near family. But I knew that I needed to start looking because of the God moment earlier. I knew that when these things happen, transformation is possible. And so I started looking. And I remember thinking just a few days later, like, goodness, what am I gonna do? What kind of work? I haven't even been doing ministry. People don't know me back in Elkhart, Indiana anymore. I haven't been there for almost 20 years. I remember having this list in my head. Let's see. Well, I'd probably be good if I had a job in Elkhart. That would be good. I think I'd like to work in mission. Again, you know, this little theme of mission keeps popping up. Mission or ministry was fine with me. Oh, it would be great if I could get a job where I could travel. Because the only place I keep going back to is Goshen, Elkhart area, and I haven't seen the rest of the U.S. for about 7.5 years. Oh, and you know, I really need to make sure I don't forget my Spanish. I'd like to keep using my Spanish, too. But I'm thinking, wow, that's some wishful thinking, right? So I'm just going to put this on the back burner. 6 months later, I get a Facebook message from an acquaintance saying, hey, Mennonite Mission Network is looking for someone. Church relations. You got to travel. They want you because you speak Spanish. Right? It's in Elkhart, Indiana. It's all looking great. But I recognized it. I was ready for it. So what part of me is like, God, what are you doing here? Part of me knew something was coming down the pipe. Something was going to happen because my eyes were looking in that direction. So what happens when we're transformed like that? What do we do with that? Do we just like, that's great, I got this really great job, and now I just keep going on and wait for the next great thing that's going to happen? Wait for the next God moment. Well, this most recent transformation, this most recent God moment also helped me realize I'm changing inside. Now it's my turn to start getting involved in this work, in doing the work that God has assigned me in a more real way. It's time to connect with others. And I didn't have this part read, but after Jesus disappears, what do the two people do? They go back to Jerusalem and they tell the 11 what has just happened. They go and they tell. When we're transformed, when we have these God moments, this is our moment to go and tell, to share and connect with others who are going along the way, who are waiting or wondering about their God moments. That's the call we have as people of God, as disciples of Christ. The Great Commission calls us to go and tell, to make disciples. And so now I travel to different regions. Most of my time is not spent sharing from the front. Most of my time is the opportunity to connect with individuals, to hear their story, to hear their God moments, but then also to share to encourage. The majority of my time is spent in the U.S., but sometimes I get the opportunity to go to other countries, like I did in March, to Colombia, to Venezuela, to Ecuador, and to see and connect and relate with pastors, with church leaders, with mission workers, with ordinary people like you and me who have had God moments in their lives. I'm wondering today, what kind of God moments are you experiencing individually, as a community, as a church? What opportunities are you recognizing? Have your eyes been opened to for an opportunity of transformation, an opportunity to be called to go and tell? My prayer for you this Sunday morning is that each of us, each of you, individually and as a congregation, will have those moments, will recognize when Christ draws near and walks with you along the way, and that you will experience and know that transformation that happens, even the small times or the big times of transformation, and that you will feel the encouragement and the courage of what it means to go and tell.